ask a question if that doesn't make sense. Or I will, yes.
So is Model A just not valid then?
Yeah, Model A is really not valid unless we look at Model B. And we could look at Model B and ask this question. What does beta 1 represent? This estimate says this is the difference between group 1 and 0. So this is the difference we said already was between medium and low. That difference was negative 5.67. Now, what's this difference? Negative 6.57 is the difference between high and low. What's the difference between high and medium? You would actually could subtract these, and we see that that value is something like 1. So we already see that the difference between 0 and 1 is negative 5. By subtraction, the difference between 1 and 2 would be about 1. It's not the same. So we know that we don't have that same incremental change in y per unit change in x. Could it be valid? Only if that incremental change was the same. But it's not in this case. Okay, so we did 8. Should we do 9? So in Model A, we said, we actually already looked at this. We said that in Model A, the intercept would then be when temp cat is equal to 0, beta naught would be the expected number of deaths in the low temperature days. So number 9 should have something that looks like this. Is it the difference in average daily deaths between high and medium? No. Is it the difference in average daily deaths between medium and low? No. We're talking about the intercept. Is it the difference in average daily deaths between high and low? No, no, no. Is it the average daily deaths on low temperature days?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll do D. So we talked about a bit about this in number 10. So which model, Model A or Model B, replicates the ANOVA? Replicates the ANOVA, which is looking at difference in means, mean outcome between the three temperature groups. So is it either one because Model A and B provide the same results? They don't provide the same results, right? They're different. And the reason they're different, Model A is saying with each incremental change in category, we see the same slope. Model B allows us to see differences in these expected outcomes between the three different temperature categories. So B, Model A, because the F statistic of 9.62 is higher than that in Model B, does that tell us anything about reproducing the ANOVA results? No. Model A, because it's the most parsimonious. We actually haven't been using that word yet, but parsimonious means it has the fewest variables that still help you explain the relationship. So if you see a word that you haven't seen before, it's most likely not going to be your answer. Model B, because the R-squared value of 0.0399 is larger. This is not telling us about why it might be showing us the same results. So Model B, because it does not assume a linear relationship between the outcome of average daily deaths and temperature category. So that's the response. Model B allows us to reproduce, using a generalized linear model or a regression model, the ANOVA.
ANOVA doesn't have the
wrong
assumption.
So Model A is the one that had the linear assumption. Model B doesn't. Model B we're using, I don't want to say we're tricking it, but we're handling this covariate as a categorical variable with the dummy variables. So if we went back and looked at the Bonferroni correction, we should see something that looks like this, negative 5.67. Negative 6.57. These are not adjusted p-values. They are not adjusted. But let's go back real quick to the ANOVA. Negative 5.67, negative 6.57, because they're looking at the difference in mean outcome between the medium and the low and the high and the low. So that Model B reproduces what we C see in our inference from the one-way ANOVA. Okay, so we see these models, and now we go on to still looking at the Philadelphia data set, but we're looking now at the number of daily deaths and temperature, but now temperature is not categorized. Rather, temperature is defined as a continuous variable that we'll call temp. So in this simple linear regression, we now really are assuming that the relationship between expected deaths and temperature is linear. So if these results are valid, the relationship between deaths and temperature would be linear. So here's just some output that's regressing deaths onto temperature. We see the ANOVA table for the regression, splitting the total variability into sources. We don't see an F statistic here, but we see the estimated slope showing a decrease in average daily deaths with increasing temperature, and we see, how would you interpret this constant? So when temperature is equal to zero, then the expected daily deaths is about 58. The average daily deaths is about 58. Okay, so the next question says, we seek an inference regarding the null hypothesis that daily deaths and temperatures are not linearly associated. So if we go back and think of that relationship, no association would be that the slope, no association would be just random scatter, none of the variability in deaths could be explained by its relationship with temperature, the slope would be equal to zero. So we're setting up a null hypothesis that they're not associated. That's the same as saying beta 1 equals 0. And which of the following provides a correct inference using type 1 error rate alpha 0.05? So how would you test this null hypothesis? I think we'll talk about all three ways we could do it, right? So we could either say, here's B1, here's its standard error. So we could set up a t-statistic of negative 1.42 minus 0 divided by the standard error. That's one way. We could also set up an f-test. So I'm looking at three ways in which we can test the hypothesis that the slope equals 0. The f-test would give us the mean square for regression over the mean square for error. Do we have everything that we need to do that? We do. So we have the mean square for regression of 2004 and the mean square for error of 61. And we also have been given some information that says the critical value for the F distribution with 1 and 363 degrees of freedom is 3.87. So roughly, 2004 divided by 61. Anybody have their handy calculator at hand? 32? So, okay, so if you say that's 32, we would say, does that exceed the critical value of 3.87? No, 32 does, it's bigger. Is 32 bigger than 3.87? It is. It's over. It's almost 10 times as big, right? So just like we use a Z score of 1.96, and you know, if it falls in the critical region, it exceeds it. We're looking, so I would say the F rejects this null hypothesis. The T, anybody take 0.142 divided by 0.024? I'm counting on you. What do you get? 6? What did you get? Negative 6? Anybody else? That sounds about right to me. So negative 6, does that exceed this table T of 1.97 in the negative direction? Yes. And what else could we do, but we're not going to do, we're just going to say we could? We could take the confidence interval for the true slope by taking negative 0.142 plus or minus the tabled critical value of 1.97 times the standard error. And we would see that that confidence interval does not overlap zero. Yes. That's right. This is saying you're given the tabled values.
Okay.
Now you have to do a little calculation to calculate the F or the T to make a comparison with them.
Okay.
But what we see is that these are really large. Even if you didn't have these tabled ones, you might consider these to be really large. But you were given them. So we can see definitively that that we'd reject the null hypothesis at an alpha of 0.05 for both of those. Are you happy with that? Fairly happy? Okay, so should we say what our conclusion is? The F statistic is 0.09, so we failed to reject the null hypothesis. So we just said our F was really big, something like 30, roughly 30. And what was the T? Roughly negative 6 or something like that. Is it negative or positive? It'd be negative. So this is false. The R squared equals 0.08. Thus, we fail to reject the null hypothesis. So we don't fail to reject based on R squared. We don't reject or fail to reject. So that's false. A 95% confidence interval is this. Thus, we reject the null hypothesis of interest. The data support that daily deaths and temperature are linearly associated. But this is a confidence interval for what? For the intercept. So this would not talk about linear association. The intercept is just the expected number of daily deaths when temperature is zero. So this doesn't give us any information. The next is the T statistic is about negative 6, thus we reject the null hypothesis, and the data support a linear association. As temperature increases, daily deaths decrease. So this is true. And is there not enough information? There was plenty of information. Okay, plenty of information. Okay, so now in number 12, it says there were 52 days on a particular 52 deaths on a particular day with temperature equal to 30. So this is really saying our observed number of deaths was 52, and the temperature, the X, is 30. Now the question is, what's the residual for this day with respect to model C, the model we just looked at? So we look at the word residual, and the word residual to us says everything about observed minus predicted or fitted, y minus y hat. So in English, it's observed minus fitted or predicted. So we want to know when x is equal to 30, using this model, what's the predicted value? So go back to C. This is model C. So B1 is negative 0.142, and B0 was 58. So let's write it here. Y hat would be 58.3 plus negative 0.142 times, what was the temperature in that problem?
30.
So somebody has to calculate this. Minus 14, Maria? Minus 14. Now let's make sure that that's correct, because I'm expecting my fitted value, so this would be about 14% of 30 subtracted from 58.3. So 0.142 times 30, but negative. And then we'd add 58.3. 54. So I'm hearing 54 twice. We're going to go for it. So y hat equals 54. So what's the residual? The residual would be the observed minus the fitted, which would be 52 minus 54, which is negative 2. So this is saying, based on this regression model, what we observed is actually 2 deaths less than what we would have predicted. Okay, that was easy. So going on, we see some plots. Aren't they lovely plots? Let's look at these plots. So these are five candidate residual plots in figure one. So in each of these plots, we'll talk about each of these, in each of these plots is there clearest evidence for a violation of the equal variance assumption. So let's just walk through each of them. Ready? Well, shall we look at some of our favorites first, or you want to go through in order? We'll go in order. Okay. So here's plot A. So residual versus temperature. So that's the predictor or the covariate. So what we're expecting to see is that we have, if it was a perfect fit, the residuals would all have been lined up at zero. But we're expecting to see some above zero and some below. And we're expecting to see pretty much random scatter. So this one's not looking too bad to me. How does it look to you? Does it look like random scatter around zero? You might say, but look, what about that outlier? Well, don't worry about the outlier. You know, it's roughly random. Well, let's look at B. What's happening here? So this is saying that there's actually, it doesn't look like there's a linear relationship. There's really quite different deviations or residuals for lower values of temperature than for higher ones. So this would probably be violating the linear assumption, so not the equal variance one. Okay, let's look at plot C. So what do you notice about this? So here's the zero line. So you're noticing a little bit of a slope that's showing there's sort of a linear trend that you wouldn't expect. So there's something that's not quite linear. It's shifted in some way, but that's not an equal variance assumption. Looks like it has some more to do with the actual association. So let's look at D. D is meant to be pretty clear. You can see what I'm doing. So what D is indicating is that for a given temperature, there's much more variability for lower temperatures than there is for higher temperatures. So if you see this sort of funneling in or funneling out, it's not random scatter around zero. We see much more variability for certain temperatures than for others. So that would violate the equal variance assumption. I would go with D. And what about plot E? What do you think about this? What's the matter with it? Diagnose it. What's its illness? So we're really hoping that if we had a scale here, now this is very small, it's very small and I can't read it, but here's zero, and if this is negative 10 and 10, we would be expecting to see random scatter in pretty much that same plus or minus 10 unit interval. Yeah, it's not normally distributed, it's skewed. So what we're seeing is that it's sort of heavy below zero, and then we see this sort of longer tail. So that would violate that. Yes.
For plot C, I'm noticing that it is centered at 50. Is that something important to note?
In plot C?
Yeah.
About centering the temperature?
It's at 50 instead of zero here.
Oh, okay. So that is actually important to know. That's very important to know. So. Yeah, so if you have better eyes than me looking at the screen, you would see that in plot C, this isn't at zero, it's at 50. And so if these are residuals, this would say that all of the residuals, y minus y hat, do you see even C zero on this scale? So this is saying all of the residuals are positive, which would say all of the observed data are larger than the fitted or predicted. Y minus y hat would all be values in the positive direction. So that is a good thing to look at, but that would not violate equal variance. Which assumption would this violate?
No limits.
So normal distribution, yeah. Normal distribution of errors centered around zero. Okay, we're making some progress. Now we're saying this is now a separate. We're separating this from what we had just tried to analyze because we said plot A is actually the one that we have in our data. So if we look at plot A, you'll remember that except for that outlier that may have disturbed you a bit, there it looks like pretty much random scatter around zero, and that's not 50, that's zero this time. So if that's the case, in number 14, which of the following statements most correctly characterizes the precision with which model C, that we saw previously, can be used to predict the number of deaths on individual days from the temperature on that day? So A says, the residuals indicate a model with no apparent violations of the standards simple linear regression assumptions. Model C provides a precise prediction of daily deaths from daily temperature. So do residual plots tell us about precision? No. What do residual plots help us with? Checking assumptions, right? Checking assumptions. So a residual plot is not giving us any information about the precision of the prediction. So this would be false, has nothing to do with it. B, the residuals indicate a model with clear violations of standard of simple linear regression assumptions. So in that, because of that, it provides an imprecise, but it doesn't violate the assumptions. We liked plot A, right? So this is not corresponding to that. C, the coefficient of determination is 0.08. Model C provides an imprecise prediction of daily deaths based on temperature. So what does R squared of 0.08 tell us? Only 8% of the variability in deaths is explained by the linear relationship with temperature. So maybe we should review what R squared is. What is R squared? R squared takes the sums of squares for the regression model over the total sums of squares. So we say this is the fraction or the proportion of the total variability in the outcome of deaths that's explained by the regression model. So how much, if that is equal to 0.08, then what is 1 minus R squared? It's 1 minus that? So if you recall, what we're doing is we're partitioning the total variability into the regression plus the error. So how is R squared defined? If I divided all of these by the SST, I'd be able to say 1 equals the proportion of variability explained by the regression plus the proportion that's unexplained. So R squared, defined as SSR over SST, is really low. Only 8% of the total variability in deaths can be explained by the linear relationship with temperature. SSE over SST is 1 minus that, or 92% of the total variability isn't explained by the relationship with temperature. So what's missing? Maybe some other variables that might help you explain. So, you know, those could be any number of things. What else could be explaining deaths? Not just temperature, it could be the age distribution in the group. What else? Comorbidities, right? Healthy lifestyle, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of other variables that might help us. So this would be true, that if you have a very low R squared, there's a lot of unexplained variability and you have an imprecise prediction. So I'm going to go with C. And then D says, the coefficient of determination is 2004 divided by 66. Well, is that R squared? What is that? I think we saw it before. Wasn't it F? Oh, no, it wasn't. So the F would have been the MSR over the MSE. we never look at the MSR over the MST. So that's just a nonsensical response. So that one is wrong. And then E, the regression slope is negative 0.14. Model C provides an imprecise prediction of daily deaths from daily temperature. And so this would also not have anything to do with the precision, because this is just our estimated change in expected death per unit change in temperature. Okay, I'm going to go for C. We'd have a much more precise estimate if we had an R squared that's large. Yes?
How much data output do we have that the R squared is kind of?
Yeah, so the R squared would have been from model C here. So model C is the one that regressed death onto temperature. So the R squared here, we would take 2004 over 24,161, and that's why the R squared is so low. Okay, we're really on a roll here. We're on to number 15, right? Okay, so still in that same scenario. We seek an interval that contains the middle 95% of deviations between the observed deaths on a given day and the mean deaths for days of that particular temperature. So in other words, we have temperature on the x-axis, and we're talking about the deviations or the residuals, y minus y hat, on the y-axis. And if the normal distribution assumption is met in model C, which provides a reasonable estimate of this interval that talks about for a given, so if we have our data sort of looking like this with a negative slope, so what interval would give us the middle 95% of the error terms? And when you see something that says hint, if use it, right? So it says hint, use the residual standard deviation. So the residual standard deviation, we have to go back and say, what's that? Our estimate of the residual standard deviation is the square root of the MSE. Yeah.
So is it y hat or y bar? It's the mean deaths.
Well, so what this is saying, between the observed deaths and the mean deaths, and then it says, i.e., the middle 95% of the true residuals. So it's the residuals that we're talking about. What's the spread in those error terms? So in this case then, with the hint that we have a residual standard deviation, which in model C is given by, so the MSD is 61, that's what? Our residual variance, yes? So the MS, the root MSE, would be our residual standard deviation. So what's the square root of about 61? Say it again. 7.8. That sounds pretty good. 7.8. So remember, what is this? This is the variability that's unexplained. What are the residuals? Unexplained variability. So this interval for number 15 would be to take. So this would be to take plus or minus. So we were in, and what if we had a good fit, the residual would be equal to zero. So the middle 95% would be centered at zero, plus or minus about 1.96 times the residual standard deviation. So we've talked about an interval that contains the middle 95%. So what do we have here? Zero plus or minus 1.96. We just said that was about 7.8. Because it's getting late, I'm feeling like I might call this 2 times 8, which is close to 16. So I'm going to go with negative 16 up to positive 16. so that the middle 95% of these error terms, y minus y hat, would be in that range. Yes.
Can you just quickly explain why you wanted it at 0?
Yeah, so the reason I wanted it at 0 was that when we have this assumption of line, you know, with the E being equal variance, so think about this, that we said we can interpret it as for a given X, it's the variability in Y, but we also said that what's another assumption that we then further developed? We said the error terms are normally distributed centered at 0 with a variance of sigma squared. So that's why I'm centering this, you know, these error terms are supposed to be at 0, but some will be above and some will be below. So our middle 95% of those error terms will be in this range of plus or minus 1.96 times sigma. So we sometimes have a question that might just ask you to sort of stretch your knowledge a little bit, right? So had a hint, talked about residuals. What do we know about residuals? They should be centered at 0. Middle 95% is plus or minus about 2 standard deviations. So that's how we would go about that. Okay, you'll like this one. Number 16 in the analysis, summarized in Model C. Suppose we fit a simple linear regression to predict deaths in which we replaced the temp predictor with a temperature C, a centered temperature at temperature minus 65. So what are we now centering at? So temp C is centering at 65. So in other words, when our original temperature was 65, what's our new temp C? 0. And if the temperature had been 75, the new temp C will be 10, etc. So we're not changing the y-axis, we're just changing the x-axis. So which of the following most closely approximates the intercept in this model? So in our Model C, I'm not going to flip back. Could you help me with this? Y hat equals B naught plus B1 times temp. But what was B naught? Wasn't it 58 or something? 58, okay. And the intercept was? Sorry, that was the intercept. The slope? Negative 1.42. And now we want to know what the intercept would be with this centered variable. Well, it's going to be the value of daily deaths that are predicted when temperature C, which is temp minus 65 equals 0, which is when temperature equals 65. So what are we going to plug in there? Times. Okay, roll back. We're centering the variable. So when we have 58, this would have said, if you extrapolated back, when temperature was 0, the predicted number of deaths would have been 58. Now what we're doing is we're basically shifting this in location by subtracting 65. So our new intercept, because we have now shifted everything by subtracting 65, our new intercept is going to be interpreted as the predicted number of deaths, right, when temperature equals 65. So I just plug in this to multiply negative 0.142 times 65, add that to 58, and if somebody's gone through the math, Maria, did you do that? Y hat? So we'd say it rounds to approximately 49. So this value is now my new intercept. I'll call it beta naught star, but it's my new intercept, and that would be equal to 49. So the answer here is 49. I know we're getting late, but this concept of centering is saying if we've now taken temp C is temperature minus 65, when we're using the centered variable, this only turns into 0 when temperature is equal to 65. So when we've centered at 65, our new intercept is the expected outcome when temperature is 65. If I had centered at 75 instead, then the intercept would have been the expected number of deaths or predicted number of deaths when temperature is 75, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are you good with that? Okay. So three or four more questions, or I guess questions 17 through 20 concern the Philadelphia daily mortality data, but now it's dichotomizing daily deaths. So the outcome variable now is going to be high if daily deaths are above 50, and it's going to be equal to zero if daily deaths are less than 50. So basically our Y variable is one if the number of deaths is high, and it'll be equal to zero if the number of deaths is low. And our temp variable, which is the X variable, will equal one on high temperature days, more than 32 degrees, and it will be zero for less than or equal to 32. That's what this is saying. So we've now dichotomized both the outcome variable of deaths, and we've dichotomized the temperature variable. And then we see a crosstab. So here's our cross-tabulation. What should we say about this? Anything? How would you interpret this 2x2 table? So remember, we have some row percentages in the second line, but we also have column percentages. So I'm probably most interested in knowing how my outcome compares by temperature. So let's look at low temperature days. And 80% of the low temperature days are what? Have high deaths, right? So 80% of the low temperature days have a high number of deaths, whereas on the high temperature days, only about 50% of those days have high numbers of deaths. Okay, let's just think about that. So what is that saying? What is that telling you? That they're different, they appear to be different, and it's saying that there seems to be an association in which you have more deaths on the low temperature days. 80% of them have high numbers of deaths more than 50, whereas on high temperature days, it's only about 50% have high numbers of deaths. The other 50% have low numbers. So there looks to be a difference in these proportions. So we could talk about setting up a test of differences in proportions. So our null hypothesis is that the proportion of days with high daily deaths does not vary by temperature group. So our null hypothesis is that the proportion with high in temperature group 0 is equal to the proportion with high deaths when temperature group is 1. Right, it's just a two-sample comparison. Our null hypothesis is that in the populations, those are the same. And I think we just convinced ourselves that these proportions are about 0.8 in this group, in the low group, and about 0.5 in the high group. So this allows us to say that in the low group, P hat was 0.8, and in the high group, so I'm just calling it the temp one, this is about 0.5. And then we want to set up a Z statistic. So we'll just verbally talk about it. So to test a null hypothesis of no difference in the proportion of, in the proportion with high debt, what are we talking about? Proportion of days with high deaths, right? High daily deaths. What do we say on the days that have a lot of deaths, right? There's a higher proportion, sample proportion. 80% of those days have high numbers of deaths when you see low temperature, as compared to 50% of the days have high numbers of deaths when you see high temperatures, right? On high temperature days, you're going to have a lower proportion of high mortality days. So what's our test statistic? It's going to take the difference in those two sample proportions, minus zero, and then we say, what's the denominator? And I made that Z look like a T, but this is really a Z. It's a Z, 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 or Z. So it's a difference in proportions, so I'm just going to say, I know I want to see 0.8 minus 0.5 minus 0 in the numerator, but then we have to answer the question, what's in the denominator? So then you might say, well, why don't I look at the formula sheet? Right? I really will suggest that you study with the formula sheet, because here is our two sample Z test. Our null hypothesis is that P1 minus P2 equals 0, which is the same as the null hypothesis of P1 equals P2. And here's our difference in sample proportions, minus 0. And what's the standard error? It's using P bar, right? So you don't have to memorize this. It's here. It's here. Here it is. Right here. But what you don't have is the standard error for the confidence interval, but maybe you can remember that confidence intervals don't assume a hypothesis is true, and you would use the data, right? Yes. Okay. There it is. So all we need to do now is find the p-bar. We're just going to be in pursuit of the p-bar, in search of the p-bar. P bar is just the pool proportion of days that have high deaths. So what is the pool? We take 24 plus 166 over 365. That's 190 over 365. P bar is 0.52, so Q bar is 0.48. And let's just see if we see something that looks like that. So what does anything look like that? Where are we? Here we are. So we also have to keep in mind, what were the numbers in both of these groups? 30 and 335? Okay, everything's there, isn't it? Here's 0.48 times 0.52 divided by 30 plus 0.48 times 0.52 over 335. We've got it. We're done. We're going on. This is it. Okay. So then, since we've dichotomized this outcome, we could talk about setting up generalized linear models in a couple of different forms. The one with the identity link allows us to interpret the coefficients in this way, in which we say the probability that y equals 1, meaning the proportion with success, meaning high numbers of deaths in this case, or we could also say the risk of high numbers of deaths, is equal to beta naught plus beta 1. And we've already defined that y equals 0 for low daily deaths, y equals 1 for high daily deaths. We said x is 0 for low temperature, 1 for high temperature. What's the estimated value of beta 1? So then we have to ask, what is beta 1? What is beta 1? But if we forget, we can say, well, the probability or the risk of having high daily deaths when x equals 1, meaning high temp, is just going to be beta naught plus beta 1 times 1. The probability or the risk of high daily deaths when x is 0, meaning the low temp days, is beta naught. How do we get it beta 1 by itself? Only way to do it is subtract. So we'd subtract the betas, we're left with beta 1. We'd say it's the difference in risk of high daily deaths on high temperature days minus low temperature days. But I'm going to use a different color, because didn't we already talk about this? What's the risk of having high numbers of daily deaths in the low temperature days? Wasn't that 0.8? From the data, what was the risk of having, or the proportion of days that had high numbers of deaths in the high temperature days? That was 0.5, roughly. So what's the what's beta 1? We would take 0.5 minus 0.8. That should be negative 0.3. So we'd say the difference in the proportion of days that had high numbers of deaths between high and low is negative 30, or there's 30% less deaths in the high temperature days as compared to the low temperature days. Okay, you're all beginning to look a little bit glazed, but would you agree with this interpretation?
Yes.
Okay, then we just have two more, and one's talking about odds and one's talking about something else. So we have the same data, but now if we use the link that's equal to LOGIT, so instead of link identity, it was link LOGIT, our model would have been the log odds equals beta naught plus beta 1 times x. So we're using the link LOGIT, saying the outcome is binomial. We have this model. We have these estimated coefficients. So we have B1, and what else? B0. And you're asked, what are the odds of high daily deaths on low temperature days? So again, what's signifying low temperature days? X equals 0. So I'm going to go back to the model and say when X equals 0 for low days, the log odds are equal to beta naught. And what's our estimate of beta naught? 1.38. So 1.38 would be our log odds. And if we wanted to get the odds, which might make a little bit more sense in our interpretation, we'd have to exponentiate. Because I read the wrong question. This is a good example. When you get tired and you said, you heard me say this, didn't you? That the log odds were equal to beta naught, and that our estimate of the log odds was 1.38. But in fact, the question doesn't ask about that. The question asks about the odds. So I would take my eraser and I would say that this is wrong. This is wrong. So here comes the eraser. This is wrong because 1.38 would be the log odds on low temperature days. So in order to get the odds, I need to exponentiate. So I would be able to get the odds, e to the 1.38, and I'd need my calculator. So what did you get? 3.97 or about 4. Okay, so now we can talk about the odds. The odds are 4 to 1 of having high daily deaths on low temperature days.
And if the truth is logistic,
is that the one that's... Right, so what we would see here is that we can either use the GLM command or we could have had used LOGIT. LOGIT gives you a clue. It says it's the coefficients. If we had used the logistic command for the same data, then what we would have seen is it wouldn't have said coefficient, it would have said odds ratio. It would have been exponentiated. But when you exponentiate the constant, you don't get an odds ratio, do you? You get an odds. You get an odds. Yeah. You can. So suppose that you get a little confused. You get a little confused and you say, but I have the data. I have the data. You have the data. So what are the odds of high daily deaths in the low temperature group? If the odds will be P over Q, which is 80, or 0.8 over 0.2, which is 4. Eureka! Okay, so we can see we could have done that in several different ways. And then I think we had just one more question. What is it? Test the null hypothesis of no association between high daily deaths and temperature using the null hypothesis that the odds ratio equals 1. So we're going to just look and we'll say that this is our estimated log odds ratio. So what we would have to do is exponentiate this. So did anybody exponentiate it? No. So the odds ratio would be e to the negative 1.40, the 95% confidence interval for the true odds ratio would have to be exponentiating these limits. So you have to do a little exponentiation to be able to interpret the question. And I haven't done that, but maybe you have. So did anybody exponentiate e to the negative 1.40? Point. You're welcome. Point. Do I have any points in there?
0.24.
Okay. Okay, so that's about 0.24. So it looks to me like the odds of having these high daily deaths is decreased by about 76% in the high temperature days compared to the low temperature days. So does anything look like that in this next page? The odds of high daily deaths are increased by 25%? No. I missed the first one. The odds of high daily deaths are decreased by a factor of 1.4 times. Ooh, I'm going to say come back to that. That's looking weird. I hope that's not the answer. Okay, so C, the odds of high daily deaths are increased by 1.39 times on high temperature days. No, that we didn't see that. Do we see that the odds are increased by a factor of 4? On high compared to low? No, that 4 thing was the odds on low temperature days. So I'm going to go with E because I think that's what we just said, which was the odds of high daily deaths are decreased by 75% on high temperature days. Why do I say that? Because my odds ratio was 0.25, so the odds are decreased by 75% in the high temperature days compared to low, and then we say we could also have exponentiated these, but I think I found something I liked, so I'm going to say have a good night. Have a good night. Okay. So thanks for traveling with me all around the school. Okay.
About the proportions.